episode 14 of The Rift, October 4th, 2010. My name is Arithian.
And I'm Desicus.
So, Desi, what have you been up to lately?
The same old work, school.
You've been sick, though.
I know. I was pretty sick for a while, actually. I had to keep going home from sick from school or not going at all, because as soon as I get there, I'd start getting those hot and cold flashes, and I'm just like, no. I can't sit in a three-hour-long art class.
Ouch. 3 hours? Well, I've just been working.
Working more.
Did I mention working? Oh, and chain-watching Buffy. We're almost finished with the last season.
You and your series is.
I like Buffy, okay? So, we'll get to our interview for this week in a few moments. We just want to give a heads up that we'll be launching a competition we've mentioned a couple of times in the next couple of weeks.
And like any good competition, there will be prizes, such as t-shirts and comics and maybe some other goodies if they fall into our laps.
Yes, laps waiting. We're just finalizing a few of the points and we'll have the details ready soon.
Now this week we're lucky enough to have Simon Finch with us. How do you say that many Fs?
Simon Finch.
Also known as Dead Simon, to talk to us about quests and rifts.
Yep. And today we'd like to, as usual, welcome Abby to the podcast. Hi, Abby.
Hello, ladies. So nice to be here with you again.
Hello. It's good to have you with us. We miss you.
Are you fully recovered now?
Oh, yes. Fully recovered and back at work. I mean, it's fantastic. Been crazy around here lately. Things are really ramping up. We've got internal beta dates set. We aren't ready to announce them yet, but we're definitely moving towards that, and it'll be here before you know it.
Oh, well, we're looking forward to that soon, right?
Soon,
soon,
DM.
Soon, very soon.
And we'd also like to welcome Tryon's Senior Design Director, Simon Finch, otherwise known as Dead Simon, to the podcast. Welcome, Simon.
Hi.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is you do at Tryon?
Okay, well, I've been in the games industry for a very, very long time. First game was published in 1983, so it has been a lifelong passion of mine. I have seen the industry grow from, you know, a single person working in their bedroom with sort of some Coke and pizza, all the way up to the massive teams we have today and the millions of dollars invested. It's been an amazing ride, and I just can't see myself ever doing anything else.
Oh, that's awesome.
And what I do here is I essentially manage the content design team. So that's around about 30-ish or so people who are all very talented designers in their own right. And they are the ones responsible for putting all of the amazing content into the game.
Excellent. Now, I do have to ask, as an avid Rift fan, can you please tell us what's the story behind Dead Simon and why every other dev wants to kill you most in a PvP setting?
Well, I actually have my dungeon and instance team to thank for that. Some months ago, well, actually, I should go back a little further than that. I was always kind of teased as a clicker. I like to click on the abilities as opposed to mash on the keys. And so a lot of the avid PvP players, I do tend to be more of a PvE fan, but all the PvP players said that they would be able to kill me easily. And then a few months after that joke started internally, we had a kickoff event to sort of like, it was an internal event to show the whole design team the vision and story for the game and get them all on the same page. And each of the leads of the various aspects of the game gave a little presentation to the rest of the dev team. And the dungeons guys had a bunch of slides showing all of the dungeons they were doing. And in every single slide, there was a tiny little arrow to all sorts of key things. And there was also one that always seemed to point to a little corpse that just said, Dead Simon. And it just stuck from then on. And I took it on, and I'm actually quite proud of it. We're going to be putting a Dead Simon collection in the game.
Awesome.
And I will not tell you any more about that, and I'll let you find out for yourself.
Oh, now I've got to play and get the Dead Simon collection. You do realize they have mouses with like 12 buttons on now, so you could technically still just click, but you'd be clicking the buttons on the mouse.
That's a very interesting idea. Maybe I will try one of those out.
They're really good. So you're here to give us a rundown on questing as it pertains to Rift Plains of Talara, so I will ask you to please do that.
Okay, well, there are a ton of quests in the game. At its core, it is built towards solo or small groups for the sort of like majority of the quests, the ones that sort of tell the main story. Each zone has a story to tell, and the bulk of the quests tie into that story in some way or other. They sort of like lead you in little steps up towards a culmination and usually a big fight at the end of that zone, where you will find out what's been going on in that zone. And it also, each of those zone stories then tie into a bigger story that is told throughout the whole game. What I should say really is it's actually two stories in a way. Even though the sort of theme of both of them is the same, they are told from two different perspectives, the perspective of the Guardians and the perspective of the Defiance. And for anyone that's been following Rift for any length of time, they will know that those are our two factions in the game. And even though they both have the same goal, which is to save Talara from the invasion of the planes, they violently disagree about how that should be done. The Guardians being the chosen of the gods who want to restore Talara to its former splendor, and the Defiance who believe that the gods failed them in the past and are taking matters into their own hands and they're using sort of dodgy technology to try and achieve the same goal of restoring the safety of Talara. So each side has a series of quests. Sometimes they will end up being sort of neutral quests that either side can take. Others are specific to each faction, and they tell the story through that faction's eyes. And each zone, as I said, has a story of its own, and they all tie into a bigger one. So that is the spine of the quest system, if you like. And from there, we sort of branch off into various other little areas. There are sort of off-story quest lines that might get you some special little, you know, reward, be it a little item that you might not get elsewhere, or just some of them are just purely for fun. I'm not quite sure what else you'd like to say. I mean, you gave me a list of questions here, and I can sort of like try and answer these specifically if you like.
I would just love to be able to ask you those questions if that's okay.
Absolutely, fire away.
Okay, so one thing a lot of people have been sort of, you know, tossing around as ideas on the forums, you know, different types of quests. One is, will Rift offer epic quest lines for classes, like similar to the EverQuest ones, or for races or for factions?
Well, for launch, there will not be for classes or races, but we do, as I mentioned a little earlier, have quests that are faction-specific. There are also some other factions, not player factions, in the game that you can find and get reputation with that will have some quests associated with them as well. I do remember the EQ epic quest lines. I was a big fan of EQ back in the day. And if I remember rightly, they didn't actually have those for launch either.
No, they didn't.
They were added later. Yeah. And, you know, we certainly have ideas for potentially doing some of that kind of thing as well. You know, that's one of the wonderful things about working on an MMO is you can easily add this stuff post-launch. And with our technology, we can do that even easier.
Okay. Now, in a couple of MMOs that we've seen recently, there have been quest lines that span the entire game and reward at intervals along the way. Are the questline ones in Rift like that, or are they a little more kind of like self-involved?
There's a little bit of each. I mean, primarily the main quest line is exactly how you describe, though. There's like a story to discover and get involved in each zone. And each of those tie into the bigger story of the saving Talara from Regulus the Destroyer. Okay. So it does tell a sort of epic story from beginning to end. Each from one from the perspective of the Guardians and one from the perspective of the Defiant.
Okay. Excellent. Now, you did mention that it's the questing lines are sort of geared towards small groups and solo players. Are there any that would be like group or epic or raid level quests?
Yes, there are. I mean, they're not, most of those, the ones that involve more players, tend to be ones that are associated with dungeons when you go into dungeons and stuff. Obviously, you don't go into dungeons solo, so it'd be pretty crazy to put solo quests in there. So,
you could try.
Yeah, you can try, yeah. I mean, if you were high enough level, maybe you could solo one of the low-level dungeons, I don't know. There are some, definitely some group and raid-level quests in the dungeons.
Excellent. Now, I do believe it was mentioned that there that some different souls might be from quests. Can you confirm or deny that? And if
yes, I can confirm that.
Oh, awesome. Now, what level of difficulty would you say a quest for a soul might be?
Well, we are still, obviously, this actually goes for everything I say. We're still tinkering around and toying with a lot of these things just to get the right balance. But essentially, we want to, you know, we're not exactly sure on the number yet, but we want the player to have the majority of the souls they can collect by the time they hit level cap.
Mm-hmm.
But then the last few will be pretty difficult to get and will involve either very long or very difficult quest lines to actually achieve those last few souls.
So to give them sort of a sense of accomplishment in having them all.
Yes, absolutely. It's like almost an achievement to get all eight of your souls for your particular calling. Did have another thing to say about that, but it just zipped out of my mind. That will come back to me.
Okay. One suggestion has mentioned quests with multiple endings, sort of like a choose-your-own-adventure style of quest. Is there any sort of anything in place for something like that?
I'll come back to that one in a second because I just remembered what I was going to say. Going back to the soul thing, one of the things we did do though is make it so that when you do the quests for souls, you get to choose any of the remaining souls that you don't have as your reward. So you get to choose which ones you get first. So the later ones are more difficult, but they will tend to probably be the ones that you're getting just to fill in your character.
Okay.
And then for multiple endings, actually, except maybe in a few cases that where some of the designers might have done something, you know, just on their own, we tend to not do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually, you know, sad to say, it's purely from a practical standpoint.
Yep.
You know, it does actually add an enormous amount of work to what we would have to do that, you know, any particular player is only going to see part of. So it's really not a good investment of our time. I would rather have the designers spend the time they would have done for a multiple ending quest by putting in two quests that all players can do. So
yeah, well, we're all for them getting their work done and finishing the game so we can all play. So we're good with that. I do know that Abby has mentioned before that they have redone the starting area, or they're redoing the starting area. What are you doing to ensure that the starting quests are compelling enough to draw players into the game and not feeling like they're just playing any old game?
Right. Well, this was actually something that we were pretty sure we were going to end up having to do, even when we were building the starting experience, the old starting experiences that are currently in the game. Even though they were very polished and complete and done, we were pretty sure that we would end up redoing them just because, you know, you tend to know the game better by the time you get near at the end, and you know the story has solidified far more, etc., etc. So it wasn't a surprise when we all decided that we were going to do this, and a lot of the feedback we'd got, a lot of our own observations about what people were doing in those starting experiences. So yes, they're both being redone right now as we speak. They are pretty complete already and are getting their polish on them. And the main thing we wanted to accomplish with the new ones was to really solidify what your faction was about and why you had made the right choice and you were the best and the other faction were a bunch of idiots and why you had to go and kill them all. And also set the stage for what the main storyline was, the main theme, the thing that you will discover and your sort of ultimate goal for the game.
Excellent.
So they are doing a great job, and they are very interesting and fantastic experiences now.
Hmm. I like that answer. Now, for when you get to endgame, I believe the max level at the moment is 50. Are there quests in place for endgame for those max levels to further advance their characters? Will there be the ability to quest for like an amazing set of armor or an amazing weapon, or so we're not bored?
Yes is the answer. First, and then also I should mention there's a lot more to do in the game other than quests, and I can talk a little bit more about that just sort of like near the end, but... yes, there are quests up at max level, and you're right, it is, level cap is 50 at the moment. We are adding more of that stuff. As I mentioned a little earlier as well, there are factions that you can gain reputation with, so there are quests associated with those, and there are some high-level sort of level cap factions that you can gain reputation with and get items from. So we do have endgame quests in there. The endgame, though, is going to be far more variety than just doing quests. I mean, we will have high-level endgame rifts. Each of the dungeon has, you know, each dungeon also has an endgame version of it. And then we also have a couple of raids that we're going to be launching with, which are obviously endgame.
Oh, that makes me happy.
We know. I mean, we understand that, you know, obviously we want the leveling experience to be fun for players. But, you know, if we do our job right, we understand that people will actually spend far more time in our game at level cap than they will getting to level cap. So we certainly don't want to, you know, give them short shrift on what there is to do at level cap.
Well, I applaud that because I'm an endgame person through and through, and for me that's just fantastic. So,
excellent. Good.
Now, daily quests seem to have become like a staple of the max level MMO character's diet. Is Rift looking to incorporate such daily quests into the endgame?
We actually have daily quests throughout the game. There are quests that you can do even at lower level that are repeatable at you know, various frequencies. But so yes, there are daily quests up at high level as well.
Oh, good. Now, is experience gained from quests in line with other forms of experience, like instances or group content or rifts, so players won't be forced into grinding quests as the fastest means to max level? In other words, is running instances or closing rifts going to be nearly equivalent in experience gain for those who would choose to level that way instead?
Yes, and I touched on this point just a moment ago. I mean, that's absolutely what we're planning to do, and we're trying to find the right balance now between all of those things and making sure that it's fairly equivalent. So we already have groups of players here that will log on overnight, and they won't ever do a single quest. They'll go off and they'll just like, you know, do rifts or something like that for the night and level that way. Mm-hmm. So there definitely are other ways of leveling your character other than just doing quests.
Well, that's good. Now, quest hubs have been mentioned previously a number of times. Are there any quest status like outside of defined quest hubs? And if so, how much exploring will be necessary to get to some of the more remote locations?
So, the quest hubs are primarily the method that we deliver the storylines through. So, you know, we want our, the majority of our players to experience the story, so they tend to stay on the main track and are relatively easy to find. Having said that, we definitely are putting in all sorts of little goodies for the explorers amongst you, and not just quests to find, but there are quests that you can get from, you know, an item that might drop that would give you a quest. You happen to go off into some strange location and you might find a quest. Or you might find other surprises out there as well.
Oh, good. I like hidden quests, so that makes me happy too. I'm being extremely biased here, sorry.
No, it sounds like you like a lot of the same things I do. So.
Now, are there quests that revolve around the rifts? And if so, what sort of quests are these?
So the answer is yes, there are quests that revolve around rifts, and they're a variety of sorts. I couldn't really particularly say they are this type of quest because they vary. They tend to get more difficult as you go up in level and the rifts become more difficult, but there definitely are quests associated with rifts.
It would be very. It would be a shame if there wasn't actually, with the name of the game and everything.
Oh, absolutely, yes, they are. The rifts are an integral part of the game, so they do tie into pretty much everything else.
Now, it was mentioned that upon entrance to a dungeon, the quest would be given to everyone involved. Dungeons also change depending on the level or version that you're attempting. Now, are there different quests each time you visit these dungeons? Are there quests that maybe start in the lower version but finish in the later version? Are there any quests that span multiple dungeons and give the story like sort of that epic feel?
So, sort of yes to most of that. There is a main quest that gets given to you when you enter the dungeon. That doesn't mean that every quest that is associated with that dungeon is done that way. Some of them you do in the more classic way of finding a quest giver or some other thing that actually starts you on a quest that involves a dungeon. The main sort of daily quest, if you like, for that dungeon is delivered to everybody when they enter, so that each time each time they enter, they don't all have to go and, oh, did you get the quest? There are some quests that involve multiple dungeons, and you know what? I can't actually answer the one about whether there are quests that start in one version of the dungeon and end in another. I mean, you know, it's an enormous game, and I don't think there's a single person on the team that actually knows everything about it all. And even when I play on our alpha shards at the moment, I still find stuff that's like, wow, I didn't know they'd put this in. So I wouldn't be surprised, but I can't absolutely confirm that there are quests of that type.
Well, we'll let you off the hook for that one. Now, what ratio of quests would you say there are of, you know, kill X of Y or collect X of Z, talk to NPC X over there and come back, or longer, or longer, more involved quest lines?
Yeah, well, I don't actually have the figures on, you know, on the tips of my fingers here, so I couldn't actually give you hard numbers on that. We, when we first, like going way back to the sort of like beginnings of Rift, when it wasn't actually even called Rift, there was this sort of like idea that we were going to make every quest epic and absolutely everything you did in the game was going to be epic. And we started down that line and discovered that when you make everything epic, everything becomes not epic because it just becomes all it becomes the standard. And so we revisited that and decided that we wanted this. We used this sort of analogy of meat and potatoes. You know, we had a bunch of what our one of our executive producers calls the potato quests, which are it actually came from a quest that had you collecting potatoes, so, which he happened to like bizarrely, but. And then there were the other quests that are more involved and have more of a story and maybe have you doing some more interesting things that punctuate the, you know, the other quests. I mean, having said that, though, you know, everybody loves to go out and kill stuff. And if you've got a quest associated with killing those things, yay, that's even better. So the ultimate is when you get to be given a quest to kill X number of things and you've got to collect Y number of things and you discover that the thing you need to collect is right near where the things you need to kill. And so you're just like, you know, actually getting multiple rewards for being in that area. So
two birds with one stone.
Exactly. I don't have actual numbers, but I do enjoy the questing. So
okay. Now, will quests reward other interesting aspects of the game, such as new skills, options, paths, or instances and areas?
Yes. I mean, they do. Primarily, the rewards are XP, coin, and items. But there are certainly other potential things that you can get rewarded from quests. You might get reputation, for instance. I mentioned the factions. You could get reputation. We certainly have the ability to do any of those types of things as rewards, and we'll probably start punctuating some of the quests with you know, giving you new recipes, for instance.
Yeah.
your crafting and stuff like that. So we're not restricted in any way, but we just haven't put a whole lot of those other types in there at the moment.
Well, I know the faction-based quests and, you know, faction-rewarding quests is going to be something a lot of people will be really interested in.
Uh-huh.
Now, will there be, like, access quests, like, for certain zones or areas?
We currently do not have any access quests in there, just because, you know, we decided we wanted players to be able to go and do the dungeons and things as soon as they were of the required level, rather than making them grind some long quest to actually get access into it. We have talked about post-launch, when we start adding new content, we could potentially sort of unlock that content with sort of player-involved quests and stuff. So, but there's nothing like that planned for launch.
Okay, now some of the games recently have sort of started personally instancing stuff. So even though you're playing an MMO, you're playing in like your own instance.
No. Let me stop you right there. I hate that stuff. So
I like that.
No, I mean, this is an MMO. You are playing with other people. The only time you get taken to an instance is when you go into a dungeon and your raid, and you go in there with, and it's built for U5 or U10 or U20, whatever it happens to be. But the rest of the game is absolutely, you're out there with everybody. I mean, so, you know, even starting experiences, I've played a lot of games recently where even the starting experience, mm-hmm. I'm solo. It's like, wait a minute, I thought I was playing an MMO and now here I am solo. So even our starting experience is massively multiplayer.
Good. Now, dynamic quests have been mentioned at times, something like a traveling merchant needing help. So how often are players going to run into quests like this?
That's funny. When I read your questions here, I was thinking, how am I going to answer this one? Because it's tough. I can't tell you. I don't know. It's dynamic. It's like, you know, there would be some nights that I log on and I'll bump into like three of these things, and then it'll go four nights and I won't see a single one. So it very much varies. I mean, it's been fantastic and frustrating, sort of, you know, balancing and testing this stuff, because the very nature of dynamic content means that it's completely unpredictable in a lot of ways. So, can't really tell you, but you will. I think that most players will bump into several of these during their travel to level cap, and then there are more up at the top end as well.
Excellent. Now, how does the team decide whether or not quests makes it into the game? Like, is there a fun factor or playability criteria?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you how many quests there are in our quest graveyard right now, but ones that we decided, you know what, this quest absolutely sucks for whatever number of reasons it was. So, primarily it is... Is it fun? And you'll get a lot of people going, oh, I hate, you know, these kill six bugs quests. But you know what? I love a number of kill quests. So that doesn't instantly disqualify it. But it does have to be fun. Does it fit into the zone? Does it fit into the story? Does it fit into the feeling of our game? You know, there's a bunch of different things that might get a quest rejected. A lot of them, we will actually try them out, put them in the game, and, if we don't like it, it goes.
Excellent. I say excellent too much today. Now, will the tone of the game, as told through its quest lines, be purely serious, or are there some subtle hints of humor built into the game as well, like puns or pop culture references?
It is a game. You're supposed to be having fun, so we certainly don't take ourselves too seriously. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, it is, you know, there are people that are passionate about it. I won't say that, and you can sort of, like, take that as serious if you like. I mean, I think that you've talked to our lore people who are...
Oh, that was fun.
They are amazing, those two, and they really have done a phenomenal job of giving us an incredible world to play in. But having said that, yeah, we definitely have fun. I mean, one of the things I do actually and have encouraged the team away from is pop culture references. We do have quite a few puns and stuff like that in the game, but on the whole, pop culture is dangerous territory to tread because it ages so quickly.
Yeah, dates.
Something that's sort of funny today is, you know, most people don't even know why the heck it was funny in like 6 months' time or stuff like that. So we don't tend to put in pop culture references.
It's perfectly understandable. Now, what sort of non-adventuring quests are in place? For example, quests directed towards those crafting inclined or even PvP inclined?
There definitely are some quests that will reward things like recipes and stuff like that. I can't really answer the PvP one too well. Mm-hmm. That is the purview of another group more than mine is the PvP, and you know I'm terrified to step in any PvP ground these days. Anyone knows who I am, I'm going to be dead Simon quicker than you can say. So, but as I mentioned earlier, we have the ability to give rewards for any of these kind of things, and we can certainly tailor quests towards that. There are quests that are off the main storyline, but they tend to sort of like tell their own little story, and they might actually be self-contained within that area. So,
okay.
Not a great answer on that one, but I don't really actually know.
That's okay. We'll forgive you. Now, it was mentioned at PAX that there are guild quests. Can you tell us anything about the types of quests that guilds can complete to advance their levels?
Well, obviously, as guilds can get quite big, the quests tend to be quite a lot bigger and tougher to complete. There are, you know, various types. There's, you know, some of them are based around rifts. Some of them are based around PvP. But they do tend to have high achievement targets. Certainly, as your guild progresses up in level, earlier on they're a little easier. But it's just in a way the guild level's somewhat like the player. That it's a bit, you know, it's a curve. That the further you go up, the more tricky.
The longer it takes.
Yes.
So you said there can be guilds can get big. So is that's good.
It is. I can't actually give you a figure off the top of my head exactly what our cap on guild size is, but, you know, certainly pretty big.
Good. Now, I have to ask, is there a forum or community quest that we can do to make beta get here sooner than it soon was going to be soon?
No, I'm afraid not. And I actually don't think you really want that. I mean, I know that me, as a player, I want to play the game when it is done and polished and pretty and working and balanced and, you know, I could go on. but done, essentially. When the game, we feel that the game is at a point where everyone is going to be happy with it, that's when it's going to be ready.
Okay, I had to try, you know.
Yep. No harm in trying.
Now, is there anything else about quests that you would like to share with us?
Not really. I just like, you know, I'm so happy that people are going to get to play this game I've been working on for a long time now and that I absolutely love and am invested in. I think the quest system is good. I think that the designers have done a great job making some interesting quests. And the story is fantastic, so I'm just looking forward to seeing what people say, knowing full well that I can't please all of the people all of the time.
Yeah, that's impossible.
Yeah.
Well, Simon, thank you so much for coming and talking to us today. We really appreciate you taking your time out of your busy schedule.
You are most welcome.
And we hope maybe one day we can con you back.
yep, just let Cindy know and I'm sure I can come back and yak on some more about the game I love so much.
Thank you, Simon. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Now, is there anything else you'd like to add, Cindy?
Well, I just want to especially thank Simon for being here. You guys have no idea how busy these guys are, and I know Simon especially has been extremely busy, so I really appreciate that he took some time to come out and talk with us. This is just such an awesome team for this kind of thing. They are so excited about our community, and, you know, everyone I've talked to here has been willing to help and is really excited about working with the community. So it makes my job really, really a lot of fun.
Well, we really appreciate it too. So, you know, he was great.
I know.
Lots of fun to talk to.
And thank you, ladies. Again, you've done a wonderful job. And we, all of us at Tryon, really appreciate your efforts.
Oh, thank you.
Well, it was a pleasure having you.
And we have fun. It's a lot of fun to have everybody on the show. So, win-win.
Yay.
So thank you for being with us. We will talk to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Now, we really appreciate Cindy and Simon taking time out of their busy schedules to talk to us. And the clarification on questing in Rift brings up some more questions, but overall, looking forward to it. With Rift getting closer and closer to beta and our closer to release, we're starting to see a nice steady stream of information coming out.
Speaking of which, on Tuesday last week, DeepStrake Mine's background information was released. It's a really nice looking video, different from what was videoed at the recent conventions, and definitely worth looking at, like everything else. We'll have links up. Abby also started a guild beta application thread, which exploded like a big bomb. If you are a member of a guild who hasn't applied yet, go and add yourself to the thread because, hey, more chances are better, right?
Definitely. And on Wednesday, the official forums also restarted polls. Amory put up one to see how the factions are divided now that we have know more about them, actually, which is always nice to know. It's always kind of fun to say, well, I'm deciding between the two, which one has more people interested.
Yeah, so. Because sometimes people will, you know, choose a faction based on, you know, there are too many to find, so maybe they'll choose Guardian.
It's kind of nice, like, I know some PvPers that do that, too, especially they're like, they don't I want to have people to kill.
Okay, so on September 30th, Abby shared some information about The Extra Life, a charity that some of the devs are involved with. It's a great charity, and donations are based on supporting a block period of gaming by the person you sponsor. When you do sponsor, it's a lump sum amount for the whole time they play, not an hourly rate, so go take a look at that. Adam Gershowitz was also a guest on the MMO Report in a special segment on Rift this week. Definitely worth a look and a listen. And Zam had an interview with Morgan, Miss Doom Cookie Lockhart, about the Kalari race. Check that out at their site.
And on Friday, October 1st, was a busy day also. Oh my, very busy. Game Trailers released a Scarlet Gorge fly-through video. It's nice to see zones being released on a more regular basis. Just makes me want to play the game more.
Yes, now, but thank
you. It'll take a look. It's definitely cool. I love fly-throughs personally. They look so neat. And they also released a couple of new videos, including how to change your class and customize your character. Game Trailers also have some footage on the Earth Rift and some the class that will formerly be named Chloromancer abilities.
In the IRC chat on Friday, Abby and Amory were on hand to talk about a bunch of things. Among others, they do mention PvP Warfronts, which are currently undergoing active testing. It sounds like they had a blast. I want their place. Can't wait to learn more about the PvP aspect. They also touch on Rifts and other aspects of the game. If you're interested in little tidbits about gameplay and the game in general, go have a look at the IRC dev chat logs over at Talarapedia and Talara Central. And don't forget to check your email. Abigail mentioned a big announcement during the IRC discussion coming sometime soon.
It's like in theaters.
In a theater near you, soon in an email box near you. On that vein, in regards to the email that Abby mentioned, there is a post, Your Chance at Beta, on the official forums now. Anyone with a Tryon account made by the time of that post, as far as I understand it, has a beta chance equivalent to the cards given out at PAX and Gamescom, which is great news. And there will also be ways to get VIP keys, and they will still be adding some people to Alpha. So go and read that post because it's a great read and I'm sure people will be very interested in it. Also, we'd like to just take this chance to welcome Shintir to the podcast team. He is also going to be helping on questions and running some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. So thank you very much for all the help you've already given us this week, Shintir, and we are, you know, welcoming you to the team.
So that's all we got for the weekly roundup. There will be links posted on our show notes for you to take a look at.
Yep. We will be putting up a contest page very soon, so keep a lookout for that. And next week, Abigail and Amory are going to join us next week.
Sadly, it's that time again.
That was a violin.
Tear, tear, cry, yeah. Cry. Don't forget to go to our site, riftpodcast.com. All links will be posted in our notes, like we just said. And we hope you enjoyed the podcast.
Now, don't forget, you can contact us via email, riftpodcast@gmail.com, via comments or the feedback form. We love to hear from listeners. And you can follow Riff Podcast on Twitter. This is Arithian.
And this is Jessica.
And we hope you hear us next week.